The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up on this Wellness Wednesday episode of Life Today, Deborah Falada helps us maintain soul care by letting Jesus' life rhythms guide you to peace.
And so this is why we really have to take inventory. Why am I always burnt out? Why am I always saying yes when I really should be saying no? Why am I always spread too thin and overcommitted? This isn't just a personality thing. This is something that we really have to get to the root of.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Life Today. I'm Tammy Trent, and I'm so glad you're here for another day, another episode of Wellness Wednesdays. They're so good for the soul. Yes. So come on in, grab a cup of coffee, cup of tea, whatever you need, maybe even a piece of paper and a pen, because you might want to write some things down on a day like today. It's so, so good. Belinda, I want to introduce you to a guest host, Belinda Lane. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. You're so
amazing. You have so much insight. You actually, the depth, your walk with Jesus, like I feel it, it exudes. And like, you know scripture so good. Well, I love it.
You're so sweet. It has been so fun to be here with you. Oh. I mean, you're just, what a gift Tammy is. I mean, truly, what a gift, because she is so full of energy. You're so entertaining, but you are so, like, you see through people. You see them. Wow. You actually really see them. And I love that so much.
So it's been
really fun to co-host with you.
Thank you. Will you say this tomorrow, too, on the next show?
Yeah, absolutely.
Please, I will. I love it.
But also, I want to say thank you to James and Betty. I've loved them for so many years, have gone to church with them. In fact, funny story, just quick little story. James was the first person, one of the first people to ever speak into my life,
really?
That there was a gifting on me to be in television.
And now you're here.
Decades, that's probably 20 years ago.
That is amazing.
I'm really, really grateful
to him. Full circle moment. Full circle. Speaking of full circle, this has nothing to do with full circle where I'm going, but.
But that's okay, because most of the show, you know where we're just going.
Yes, but I do want to say, I think there are so many people, today's important because I think there are so many people that deal with, let's just talk about a couple of things. Major burnout, totally burned out. They are exhausted, chronic fatigue. I don't know where you're at in your life, but I feel exhausted right at this exact moment. And I'm here, I'm committed, I'm showing up, I'm fighting through it, but do we always have to fight through it? Is there a time when we hit a wall and just like, is it dangerous to wait to that point? Do we have to find the signs and see them right now?
And it's such a real question, especially for women.
Yeah.
I feel like, and there's a lot of changes hormonally that we go through. And I think it's such a real thing to talk about the burnout and to talk about nothing feels normal or the same anymore.
No, exactly.
At a certain point, it's like, who am I? I don't feel the same way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's why today's going to be a great day for you. Are you ready? We're
going
to jump on in. I'm going to introduce to you, she's been here a few times and you have loved her just as we love her, Deborah Falada. Did I get your name right?
You did.
I'm so glad you're here.
It's so good to be here.
It's a best-selling author, speaker. You've got a new book out, Soul Care, which is so good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this gift. Let's jump on in. Can we start out at the top of burnout?
Yeah.
Why are so many people struggling with so much burnout right now?
It's true. I think many people would say that they're feeling empty. Mm-hmm. And I think many Christians would say that they're feeling empty. But when you look at scripture, the Bible calls us to be filled. Mm. You know, scripture talks about knowing God's love so deeply so that we may be filled. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples at Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit. John 10:10 tells us that Jesus came to give us life in all of its fullness.
Yes.
So why is it that so many of us are feeling empty? I really believe that it's God's will for us to be filled, but many of us haven't learned what that looks like. And not only that, I think many of us have been taught theology that almost enables us to stay empty rather than taking a look at where we are, how we're doing, and how filled we feel standing alone.
You're probably sitting, you know, in rooms with people all the time, and they're bringing their traumas, and they're bringing their pain, and they're bringing and their doubts about God and why things are happening the way they are in their life, and they're just done.
Yeah.
They're just done. You've developed in this book some tools for them.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about those
tools?
Yeah,
absolutely. As a licensed counselor, I'm working with people on all levels. I'm working with high capacity people. I'm working with pastors and leaders that you would know their names. But so many people are struggling with burnout. And so as a counselor, the first thing you want is to help people get to the root of the why. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because I could give you these rhythms that we're about to talk about. We're going to unpack some of these rhythms here in a minute. And I could start with the rhythms, but if I don't get to the root of the why
That's
are
so
you
good.
Burnt out? Why do you keep repeating these
That's right.
cycles
That's right.
to begin with? You're just going to do it all over
exactly.
again.
Exactly.
And in my studies, I found that there's three types of people who tend to put their needs on the back burner, who tend to ignore their needs, who tend to ignore their feelings and just push through, focus on everybody else. The first type are the firstborns. Firstborns tend to be over-responsible. They tend to fill in the gaps for everybody else. They tend to be parent pleasers
That's
who
right.
eventually become people pleasers. So they have a tendency to put the needs of others first because they want to please. Then there's another group of people who tends to neglect their own needs. And that tends to be people who come from a family where someone else in the family had higher needs. So maybe it was a sibling with a disability or a mental health struggle or an addiction, or maybe someone in the family was rebellious, or maybe there was conflict or something in the family where someone else had higher needs. So what do you do with your needs?
Right.
You put them on the back burner.
Right.
It's like, there's no room here for my needs, so I'm just going to focus in on others. I'm going to ignore my needs. And the third group were people who came from families where either mom or dad or both were emotionally unavailable. So maybe dad was a workaholic, alcoholic, ministry-aholic. Maybe mom was stressed out, checked out. And so you have these needs as a child. You go to dad, he's not available. You go to mom, she's not available, not interested, not able. And so you learn to suppress your needs. And I'm sure some people who are listening today are thinking, I have all three of those.
Right.
There are all three of those traits.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have just one or three, you get really good at neglecting yourself to the point of feeling empty. So we have to start with, where did these patterns come from? What are the narratives that I'm believing? What is the family of origin that I've experienced that has shaped me to be this way? Because God wants to break those patterns. God doesn't want to just heal us in our present.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to heal us from our past mm-hmm. as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, I know I'm a counselor and I love talking about this stuff, but I truly believe it's of spiritual significance to allow Jesus to come in and heal our past so that he can heal our present as well. And then that's where the rhythms come
in. Is that partly because, is it true that if you've lived that way for a long time, it will at some point show itself?
Exactly.
Like you can't just
snap your fingers and make it go away.
Okay, so
that's
at some point, you're going to have to deal with it.
Exactly. The same roles that served you in one season of life, if left unchecked and unaddressed and unaligned to God's truth, will sabotage you in another season of life. And so this is why we really have to take inventory. Why am I always burnt out? Why am I always saying yes when I really should be saying no? Why am I always spread too thin and overcommitted? This isn't just a personality thing. This is something that we really have to get to the root of.
When do we also have to get to the root of die to self?
Right.
You put yourself last. You're here to serve, not to be served. So that whole idea of soul care and self-care, do you know what I mean? So many of us have been taught that selfish thinking.
Right.
So then we do neglect all of our needs, all the things we're going through as believers, and taught that that's just your burden to carry.
Yeah, we do it in the name of Scripture.
It's crazy.
In the name of theology, but that's not what God calls us to do.
Is it scriptural or not?
It's not. That's not what Jesus calls us to do. That's not how Jesus lived his life. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to love others as we love ourselves.
Okay.
And it's coming from a place where we're speaking to the Israelites, God's chosen people who are set apart, anointed, special.
Yeah.
They know that they're special. Out of that, they are to love others. The problem is we don't see ourselves in that same way. Mm-hmm. And why I think this is biblical, not only because of the different Bible passages that we already referenced, but because I saw it in the life of Jesus. As I was writing Soul Care, I'm studying the Gospels, and I'm seeing the fact that Jesus himself, who was fully God, yet fully man, honored his human capacity. He practiced these rhythms to stay healthy and to stay filled, because high levels of pouring out require high levels of filling.
That is so true.
And so if Jesus did this, if Jesus practiced these, how much more do we as fully human beings need to practice these rhythms to care for ourselves as well?
I love it. I remember even reading that you said, actually living at 100% is really living at 85%, that we should all just be... Explain that even, living at the 85%.
One of the rhythms I talk about in Soul Care is the rhythm of rest. Mm. And it's not just about resting at night, although we talk about the science and psychology of sleep, but it's also about living life with a slower pace, an intentional pace. I talk about living at 85% because when you look at how Jesus lived, there was room for interruptions. Mm-hmm. He wasn't rushed. He was intentional with his pace. If I gave you a check, a paycheck, and you spent 100% of it every time, you would eventually find yourself struggling and in debt. Mm-hmm. Why do we do that with our emotional capacity and think it's good? Why do we live at 100% and assume nothing's going to break and we're not going to be in debt emotionally? We will burn out if we're constantly living at max capacity. Wow. So what does it look like for us to pull back and allow God to do what he can do? I mean, Jesus took naps. Mm-hmm. We should be more like Jesus, right? He rested.
Yes.
He paced himself. So the rhythm of rest is a really important rhythm, and we see it practiced in the life of Jesus.
Okay, but practically, I know you're saying that, but then I'm listening to the mom who's, you know, on the soccer field right now, and then we'll go to Bible study after that, and then come home and cook the dinner, and then, I mean, there's just a lot, and you carry a lot. Mm-hmm. You have four kids, and you have an entire practice that you run. I mean, we can say living at 85% and looking at Jesus and following how he had margin, but how? What's the practical way to do that?
Well, I would say let's move into the rhythm of protect. The rhythm of protect is about setting healthy boundaries, learning to say no and not yet. I think sometimes as Christians, we think it's wrong to say no to good things. Let's say it's a ministry opportunity where I have to volunteer. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And when you look at the life of Christ, he said no and not yet on a regular basis. Why? Because he wanted to protect his relationship with the Father. He wanted to protect his heart. He wanted to protect his calling. Sometimes we say yes to so many things that we end up watering down the very things that God has called us to do because we're doing too much. And so the rhythm of protect is taking a good hard look at our yeses and our noes, what we've committed to, and making sure we're aligned to the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't motivated by the obligation of man. The Bible says he didn't care much about the opinion of man. And I don't think that means he didn't care about people. I think it means that he cared more about what God thought. And he was so in tune to God's calling that it was easy for him to say, no, I'm not going to do that. Oh, you want me to go to that town next? No, actually, I'm going to go to this town next. No, it's not my time yet. And he was really good at setting boundaries. The disciples hardly ever knew where he was. It made me laugh sometimes in scripture. It's like, where did Jesus go? He protected his time with the Father. He knew there were so many demands, such high pouring out, that he had to get filled up with the Father.
So
he prioritized that time.
Yes.
He protected it. He would go to the garden and pray. We don't take it seriously enough, the importance of protecting what God has called us to. Ooh. And so the rhythm of protect calls us to kind of face some of these boundaries that we have and begin to do it differently.
And I think some of it is because we just tell ourselves, well, it just has to get done.
Right.
It's just what we have to do.
If I don't do it, no one else will.
And we don't immediately have a consequence to that decision.
Right.
The consequence isn't until down the road.
Right.
And then it's too late.
When
at that
something
point.
Breaks down.
Right.
When we break down.
Yeah.
When we're not able to do what God has called us to do.
That's
for
right.
sure.
What out of the six rhythms that prevent burnout, we've covered a few of them there. Number one was nourish, protect your calling, rest, connect, savor, tune in. So let's talk about savor.
Savor was my favorite because I think it was the one that spoke to me where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But it's also one that I don't think we talk about enough. The rhythm of savor is about slowing down to enjoy life. Mm. To be present with the moment.
Yes.
Right here, right now. I'm a checklist girl.
Yes.
I like to get things
yes.
done.
Yeah.
You know, when you ask me what's next, I'm ready to answer that. And I felt as I was writing this chapter, this section of the book, that God said to me, I don't want you to think about what's next. I want you to embrace what's now, what is right mm-hmm. before you right now. We get so distracted mm-hmm. by the worries of the future, the regrets yeah. from the past, the phone in our pocket yeah. that's constantly in our face, that we're missing the moment. Mm. Jesus was so good at being present. My favorite verse, you know, as I was writing Soul Care, some verses stuck out at me that I'd never seen before. I've read the gospel so many times. Matthew 13, verse 1. Jesus left the house and went and sat by the lake, period.
What verse is that?
Matthew 13.
It's my new favorite.
I love it.
It's my new favorite.
And of course, people found him and eventually a crowd gathered around him. But
wow.
the idea that he went to sit, he left the house, he left the crowd Ooh. And went and sat. I love the ocean. I love being yeah. by the water. And just to imagine him savoring that moment.
Mm.
Not only that, but Jesus savored life during suffering.
Mm.
Right before he went to the cross, the Last Supper, he was present with his disciples. He was right there in the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, this moment right here, this is all we're guaranteed. We don't want to miss it because
yeah.
of all, like the enemy wants us to miss the moment, but God is in the moment. And learning to savor the moment means we're learning to savor him. We're learning to be with him.
And it's heightening our senses. It's listening and touching and feeling the moment,
yes.
the present moment.
Yeah. yeah. And God in it.
Can I read something to you that
of
I read
course.
Online relating to your book? Somebody said this, and I can't help but to think that there are probably many people watching right now mm-hmm. that feel the same way. And this is what I wrote down, what they said, when you are so depleted, you may not even have the capacity to be thinking how you can fill yourself up so you can serve more. It's entirely possible that you could be so depleted at points that you can't even think of serving anything or anyone.
And that's the truth. Because when we self-neglect, which it's funny, the reason we self-neglect is because we don't want to be selfish, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be selfish, so I don't want to focus on myself. But if you take that down the path, what ends up happening, you self-neglect, you become completely empty. And guess who you think about when you're completely empty?
Mm.
No one but yourself.
That's right.
So it ends up self-neglect ends up leading to selfishness
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because
wow.
we're so depleted and so burnt out. And so for someone like that, my encouragement to them would be start where you're the weakest. Read through these rhythms. Start where you're the weakest. You don't want to start doing them all at once because I don't want you to burn out trying not to burn out. Start where you're the weakest because that's what will fill you up the most and have the most impact right away.
That's so good.
So good, Deborah. I want to make sure to get this book in your hands. It's so, so good. And let me just ask you, I could tell you all kinds of things about what I've read, but in just 5-10 seconds, what do you hope that a reader gets when they get to the last page?
I hope that they will be challenged to take seriously the call, the spiritual discipline of filling up so that they can live life fully and do all that God has called them to do.
Praise God. There's the message. And you know what? There's some people right now around the world that really literally need filling up, but they need fresh, clean water. They are desperate for soul care. They are desperate for an answer to their prayers. They're desperate for somebody to show up, and we have an opportunity to do that together today. Right now, just take a second and watch this.
You know, so many people don't have a choice when it comes to water. The only water source that they have is the one nearest them, in this case, a river. When you look at it, it doesn't look too bad. It's a little dirty, but you can see some of the areas where there's moss and animals and people bathing and swimming. They tell us, so there's all sorts of contamination in here. It's not so much what you can see in here that's dangerous, it's what you can't see. It's what goes into the stomachs and the systems of even the youngest of children, and it hits them the hardest. Fresh, clean, drinking water. You can give that to them. We know because we've given it to others in villages all across the world. But we need to come into this village and that village a few miles up the river and that village over there across the river. We need to come in with many water wells. I'm asking you to make that possible. The more of you that join with us in Mission Water for Life, the more water wells we'll be able to drill. And it's my heart's desire that no child would ever drink contaminated water. I promise you, you will be helping to save a life.
Randy, I can promise them too. Yes, you will be a part of saving a life. Belinda, I'm telling you, you had just asked me, when you saw that water like spring forth, we're like, you could see me sitting here like, you know, yes, watching that. And you said, have you been there for that moment? And I was like, yes.
Because I'm watching the moment and I'm like, that is incredible to see them just absolutely a miracle has happened.
Exactly.
It's a miracle they're watching happen. It's not any longer just a hope or a prayer. It's tangible.
Yes.
It's actually happening.
Yes.
Their life has changed forever. It literally means they are going to live. And so I just hope that everyone watching really understands that you are the difference maker. Like you, that moment that you got to be a part of, they're a part of that moment.
Exactly.
They get to be a part of it when they donate, when they give.
It's incredibly exciting. And I think that's one of the greatest parts for me doing Mission Work for Life Outreach is to see the resolution, to see the redemption story, to see the victory, to see all the things that they pray for, the answered prayer, like all come to fruition right in front of my eyes. I'm like, it feels like family when I'm in these places. Like, these are my family. I've been fighting for this for you. I've been trying sometimes for months or years to get water in these certain villages in these places that are so remote and so far out that it's hard to get to, or we've got to raise more funds for this well or that well. And so sometimes it takes time. So when I'm finally there and I'm seeing it happen before my eyes, it is a celebration of life. Yes. So let me tell you what that would look like today for you. If you've never had a chance to give to this incredible outreach, today's the day to do it. We are trying to build, drill, I should say, 350 water wells in 20 nations. So let me tell you what that would look like, because we can all get involved. Belinda, every single person can do something today. $48 will provide water for 10 people for the rest of their lives. $144 will provide 30 people with water for the rest of their lives. And for $4,800, we could go in and drill a complete well for an entire village of about 1,000 people for the rest of their lives. I can't think of a better place than this to put $4,800. It is life-giving, life-changing. And these are things I want to be a part of. That's why I love being a part of this ministry. Go online, give the best gift you can, do whatever you can give today. It matters today, because they might not have tomorrow, but they have today. So let's act today, right now.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late.
With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Physical Health, a Bible-based collection of 52 prayers designed to bring strength, healing, and renewal to every area of your body. Covering a wide range of physical needs, this beautifully crafted book encourages intimate conversations with God. With a gift of $100 or more, you may request the Armor of God Tumbler Set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with Ephesians 6:11, are a practical and meaningful way to carry a reminder of God's strength and protection throughout your day. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hope you're going online and giving the best gift that you can give today. Please know that it will make an eternal impact and difference in the lives of so many around the world. And when you do, I'm going to send you Deborah's new book, Soul Care. You're going to love it. So just request it when you call for any amount that you're able to give today. I'm going to get you this book. So Deborah, thank you for being here. You're really a gift to the body of Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to just leave us with something.
Yeah. You know, I know there are so many of you out there who are listening and you're feeling empty and depleted. So number one, I want to pray for a supernatural filling over you, because we serve a God who can fill us up. He's the only one that can. But there's some of you out there that also need to partner with Him on the journey of filling up. He wants to help walk by your side and help you practice some of these rhythms so that it's not just a one-time filling, but that you can continue to remain filled. So we're praying for your filling supernaturally and in partnership in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. And if you need prayer today, there's a number on your screen. Go right now. Pick up the phone. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. There are people waiting to pray with you right now and come alongside you. We love you. Deborah, we love you. Belinda, love you too. I'm so glad you're here.
It's been so fun. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I have loved it. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time on Life Today.
That's when God revealed to me, Nona, all these years, you've been looking at that rejection like it was just painful, when in fact it was a gift.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.